It is Thursday, in case you're still in that post-vacation fog, Lori. Thursday, this is the second hour of the show. First hour was pretty great. Lots of stuff to go back and podcast if you want. The Matt Belanger segment.
The Brad Pitt dream.
The Brad Pitt dream. That
what
was
are you talking
one.
About, Rocco? I had to send Allison Kaplan. I sent her a tweet and I or a text and I said, you have to listen to the surprising end of Lori's Brad Pitt dream in our first hour.
I mean, you know you're relaxed when you have, like, just I just haven't had just such a lovely, vivid dream.
I want a good dream.
Mm-hmm. How often do you guys have one of those dreams where it's so good and then you sort of catch yourself and then you wake up and you're like, come on, I was just
that
flying, doesn't happen. Winning the lottery.
Not often lately,
sleeping with
I don't
Brad
feel
Pitt.
Like.
But, yeah, Yeah, that's the most annoying because you know it was good or something was happening and it was
and
or
something
and then it just is gone. That's why you're supposed to open your eyes slowly, like alarm clocks or buzzing is not a good way to remember your dreams.
Have you guys ever tried to journal your dreams or get into lucid dreaming, that sort
I just
of thing?
Maybe when I was in therapy in my 20s.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. They say you're supposed to write them down. That'll help.
I really have to admit, I am spending too much time awake at night right now. And I woke up. No, it bums me out because I'm thinking I'm going to bed early, like, you know, 11, which is kind of on the earlier side for me, but I'm up at 2:35 or 4 o'clock.
You should call my mom.
I was so bummed. I'm like, I started reading, you know, and I'm like, this is such a drag. It's not even, the night isn't even halfway done.
Well, don't watch this show don't want to stay awake. So I've been quietly watching this show that's been appointment TV on Showtime, Rocco, since it started. So this would have been like probably the beginning of January. It's called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
And Casey watched for like 3 episodes and then he dropped out for a very annoying reason. But luckily I said, I don't need you to watch a show. This can be an ironing putzing around in my room show. So I would always watch it on Monday morning, the day after it aired. So the finale was a week ago, Sunday. And I remember when I was leaving on the trip and I thought, oh, I'm not going to look at the internet. There won't be any spoilers for me for Your Honor because I won't be looking for it.
Sure.
You know? And so this morning, though, I finally had a chance to watch it. And I flippin' loved that show. It is a Shakespearean epic.
So he's a judge.
I'll set it up for you. Okay. So the guy who created the show, he's won a BAFTA. He created the show called Criminal Justice, which he then adapted into a show that I know Julia and I watched. I don't know about you, Rocco. The Night Of.
Oh,
I did watch that. Yes.
Great.
Just limited series.
Great show.
Tom Hiddleston.
So the guy who created The Night Of, he did Your Honor. And he kind of got the idea from an Israeli TV series, which if you remember, wasn't Homeland an Israeli TV series?
Sounds right, yeah.
I think it was.
But he mostly went on his own after just borrowing a killer concept from that show. And he set the drama in New Orleans, got Bryan Cranston to play a righteous and good judge who turns, but then something bad happens. Everything he held dear, how far would he go to cover something up?
Mm-hmm.
And the victim that's involved in this story is the mob boss of one of the biggest crime syndicates in the whole Southeast, Jimmy Baxter, played by the great Michael Stuhlbarg, who, if you watch Boardwalk Empire, he played Al Capone.
Okay.
He's really terrific. And the whole cast is good. The kids, but every single week it was like the screw turned. I mean, with the web of lies, this will be such a bingey show. Like I had to watch this every week, but I'd be a week, you know, the next day. And I just couldn't believe it. And the ending.
Okay.
Wow.
Right. So it's just one season, 10 episodes.
It's just a 10 episode thing. Critics did not like
this
show.
No, they didn't, because I remember when it started, and I'm like, well, people don't like it.
But critics didn't like Notting Hill and sure. Love Actually right. and many other right. television shows. They hated Cheers when that came out right. and Friends.
I'm going to watch this, but you said Casey quit. I mean, is it anxiety-ridden? Because, like, I quit it's Ozark just, for that.
Oh, well, this is a very tense show. It is a very tense show, but I think what you might like about it is that the question is, how far will a parent go yes. to protect their kid?
It's scary.
And that is an interesting thing. Our gal from The Affair, Moira Tierney, yep. is in it. It's yep. just the whole cast
her.
Is
Hope Davis.
Hope Davis. It's really, and you know what? It's kind of fun to see a show filmed in New Orleans, the right. Garden District, and you're down on Bourbon Street, and you see the Ninth Ward, and they address everything that. You know, there's a whole nother side of the story that it's just, wow.
You know, when you're saying that, how far would you go for your child? It reminded me of the book we read, The Chain, by Adrienne McKinty.
Or just yesterday, The Kids with Bright Futures.
Right, Kids with Bright Futures, right.
But this happens, there is a hit and run accident okay. that sets the whole story off. Ooh,
sounds good.
And yeah, it really, really... really is good, and I didn't find it to be, at the end of it, I was just like, Walter who?
And so you forget who he was, Walter
White.
From Breaking Bad.
Walter
and,
White. You don't even think about
it. But
him.
Do you, does it set up for a season two, or does it end?
No,
there's a beginning, a middle, and end.
Yeah, this is just a one and done, and that's the way it should be, so it's like a sad, but it was just really a Shakespearean epic.
All right, I want to watch. I'm willing to watch this.
Yeah, I think
it
you
sounds,
should.
It sounds
Rocco,
kind
do you
of,
have Showtime?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm steering you guys wrong with
no,
that.
No. All right.
It was really something, and I mean, I would guess Margot Martindale is in it from The Americans. She's so great.
We love her.
And it's just really well done, and the twists and turns, and I don't know. I love telling Casey that he dropped out too soon.
Right.
And for once, he didn't leave me on. He left the ledge, and he shouldn't have left the ledge.
And what does he think? That's okay, because I didn't
Netflix
like it anyway.
The Netflix ledge, that's what we call it when one of us leaves
that's
a show.
Funny.
I'm leaving you on the ledge on this one.
That's funny.
Right now, we're binging Call Your Agent.
Oh, that's so good.
That show's amazing.
That one. Yeah, that one's so good.
Which one's that?
It's a
Call Your Agent on Netflix. It's basically a dramatic French version of Entourage.
It is.
Uh-huh.
And it is really good. And they have real French stars, Juliette Binoche, Jean Dujardin from The Artist. It's so well done. And we got to go to the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah,
the finale of season two.
I'm very excited about
it. I'm sensing a pattern from you, Laura. You're watching a lot of import shows.
Well, that's what is on when you've gone through all the.
I know. Laura's watched everything.
Yeah.
But think of how we've spent our year watching and absorbing.
All the HBO programming right now is like Europe.
It is, Laurie.
But Showtime,
But The Investigator is one you told us about yesterday
that
we should watch.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but the Call Your Name is just a delicious, that's not anything tense.
Oh,
that is just a good show.
And it's good.
Casey likes it too. Yeah. And it's like our wheelhouse. It reminds me of Entourage in that way of
totally
the inside view of being an agent. It doesn't matter where you are.
And how you
it's
talk
fascinating.
Your clients up. It really is.
They are the people that are holding a lot of keys.
Yeah, they are.
Right. I never finished the French show Lupin.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I watched one and I liked it.
Yeah,
oh, I binged that
five,
right away.
Yeah. You know what, Rocco? Sometimes you got to write him down.
I know. I'm trying.
Look at my book. I have all the. I have a book.
You got to write him down.
I have
you forget.
A book of everything we're supposed to be watching.
Anyway, so Your Honor on Showtime and wherever Showtime ends up dropping it, but it's. I thought it was really great. And Call Your Name.
All right. It's time for randoms.
Call my agent.
Call my agent. Sorry. Yeah. Call my agent. I'm getting mixed up with the movie. We'll be right back with
random thoughts. Saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if.
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. That's something for you guys. How, you know, when you're driving down a highway and there's the dotted white lines. You know, white dash, 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 dash. How long do you guys think those white lines are? What line?
Oh, like each one?
Yeah. Isn't there a song? What
line? Right. Because when you're driving, they seem like they're just little dots. But I suppose if you're just standing and still, they're maybe 4 feet long. I don't know.
Lori?
Now you got me singing, thinking what of that White Line song from the 80s. That's such a Rocco, if you don't know that jam.
Oh, yeah, that's the cocaine song.
The cocaine song.
Like a phenomenon. Yeah,
that's right. But it's...
Yeah, the way it starts was always such a good song. And you could just start doing the... Let me have you. Open me a beer.
I'll pull it up while Lori guesses.
All right, Lori guesses. So he's
3 feet.
10. Those are 10 feet long.
I don't even know what lines we're talking about because I haven't thought about anything but the song now since you said it.
All right, fine. All right, now here's a good one because we were talking about
how... I thought we were going to hear the song.
All right, here we go. Turn it up. This is such a good song.
It is such a good song.
Grandmaster Flash.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Bass.
This was the best song to get ready to for going on.
This is a good song.
Vision, dreams of passion.
And you could like do your mascara and then take a swig of beer and then dance to your girlfriend and then you'd like hold up a top and then do your other eye. It was conducive to like dancing and drinking and putting on makeup.
Yes.
And so getting everybody like feeling in the
ready
mood.
To go.
Yeah.
And say no to drugs, everybody.
Gosh, no, but do you remember how much fun it was to pregame?
Yeah.
So much. The pregame was more fun than the game sometimes. But I mean, we would have so much fun.
But you would have certain songs that would be your songs.
We'd have
for
Paradise on the dashboard lights because we'd just scream it.
Yeah, this is. I didn't like, you know, this.
We screamed it.
I liked Party Train by the Gap Band. That was another one to get ready to.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
But White Lines out because you can kind of like move more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you know the words, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, pre-gaming. So doesn't that sound so foreign? Getting ready with girlfriends and going out. I mean, that just sounds so old, so long ago. Okay, so we've been talking a little bit. You got back from Hawaii. And we're talking about the temperate weather there, that it never gets too cold and it never gets too
it's the
warm.
Same kind of year
it
round.
Is. So here, this is funny because this showed up today. Hawaii has the record for the highest low temperature and the lowest high temperature in the United States.
Because of Mauna Kea.
Its all-time low in Hawaii was 15 degrees. It has never been colder than that. And every other state has.
And was that up at Mauna Kea?
It doesn't say.
Oh, okay, but probably.
And its all-time high, though, was 98 degrees. It's never made it into 100.
100, yeah.
Isn't that just kind of a wild? I just thought that was kind of like, whoa.
Wait, Hawaii's never, it's never been 100 in Hawaii?
No.
No, it's
so temperate, the way the winds go through there.
Is, It doesn't have a hot season, a rainy season. It's just got the same pretty much beautiful weather year round. It just has rainy sides of the island.
And sometimes, like when I worked there, I lived there for 15 months in 84 and 85. And when I'd go to work I lived in Waikiki, and my work was probably like 8 blocks from where I lived. And I'd go to work and I'd had an umbrella because the rain would come at you sideways, straight forward. So we'd hold the umbrella in front of us like we're charging at
it. And a monsoon.
It really would be like that. And then it'd be done.
Done.
Mm-hmm. I got sick of the nice weather.
It can be. That's a very island or any place where you have the same
weather. I got sick of being on the island.
Yeah, I know it. It's a real
island
thing.
Fever.
Yeah.
When I came home, I was like, because you can never just bop to see anyone. It's 5 hours even to get to L.A. You know, it's eight hours to get to Minnesota. It was just such a trip.
Yeah.
A trek.
Well, Casey, when he was in the Army, he didn't ever come home once.
No. He was there for 6 years or something. Mm-hmm. A long time. Okay. Howard Johnson's, the Hojos, you know?
Hojo.
Love a Hojo. These are luxury brand hotels in China. Did you know that?
I did not know.
They're all 4 and 5 star hotels. The last great.
They have the little orange peak roof and the motel design.
The last great Hojo was at Times Square. And I remember going there with my mom and my sisters. And then it's gone. And Times Square, it's turned into the M&M store.
Oh, yeah. And the trip that I was deliberately left out of. Oh, but notice how I never even really got mad about it. I mean, there were other people who were mad on my behalf.
There probably were your mom and your sisters.
And your brother.
Yeah.
You thought that was pretty rude.
You wouldn't have wanted to. My sisters and I got in that most epic fight.
But you Rocco. Might not have gotten in the fight if I'd been there, Julia.
Oh, it was so...
I would have been like the buffer.
One of my sisters...
Was having
her period for every minute of every day for 10 years. But it was literally, we all have sisters and everyone knows there's ones that are easier than others. I mean, you always talk about the mean one and the nice one. I never even go that far, but I've got a one that was something.
Yeah.
On it, remember when we were going to see the Statue of Liberty?
And I wasn't there.
All right, so Lori didn't get invited. All right. Again, I forgot you weren't invited, but we went to see the Statue of Liberty, Rocco, and you're in this big line that goes around. And
if
there's
you'd asked
families.
Me, I would have told you, don't ever do that. That is a waste of time. You take the Staten Island Ferry and wave at the Statue of Liberty.
We were
going to
go find Dad at Ellis Island.
Don't get off on the island.
Oh, but my sister just
had to go over.
And literally, there's families right next to us. And it was like the lowest low of our life because I'm screaming back at her, bleep you. There's families all around. And I'm just like, you're so delusional. No one can stand being
and
around
like,
you.
What's that accent? I don't know. Maybe Minnesota, Wisconsin, Canada.
It was so brutal. But you're right. If you would have been there, you would have probably taken away all of that.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a trip.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking around. Howard Johnson. Hojo. I think the closest one to here is in like Waterloo, Iowa.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they're still around.
There was one in Arizona where I lived right in Tempe.
In Bloomington
they
for a long time.
The right Hojo's to go.
They're owned by Wyndham.
Oh, all right. Thank you for telling
us. Yes, now I've checked. Now you know.
Now
so,
we know.
Anyway, that was just like a good flashback. So do you think people think they look better with the masks on or without?
I think people think that they look good either way. Some people might be glad that, maybe they're sensitive about a mole they have something.
Yeah, or bad teeth. 16% of the people like
don't mind it.
Don't mind wearing the mask.
I smile behind the mask, and I feel like people can tell.
Totally.
I'm interested in, Casey couldn't believe. He's like, when we were leaving, I go, I need to wear the Navy mask today. And he said, why?
Because it matches.
It matches my jacket.
Yeah.
He was just like, you're kidding. But there is something.
My time already up.
We're going to see some match. We're going to see. That's kind of just part of the fact. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I want us to just I'll
move
get
on.
Better.
I'll get better and be done.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for
what did we learn?
We learned that we dogged you and didn't invite you, and you would have probably helped us out of that one because that was something. All right, we'll be right back.
Well, hello, Julia Claiborne Johnson.
Hello.
We are so excited to talk to you.
We really are. Oh my God. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We're excited.
I'm excited to talk to somebody who doesn't live under the same roof with me.
Right. I saw that. We are really excited. Okay, so we read your book, Better Luck Next Time, and we're going to be reading your book, Be Frank With Me, because this is our first book of yours that we've read. But can we just say that Better Luck Next Time is just such a wonderful, beautiful, incredible book.
Yes, you can say that over and over again. And follow me around my house and say it often.
And fun. It's so fun.
It's so good. Please give people the setup of your story, and then we've got questions for you about how you even came up with this amazing story.
Oh, well, I'll give you two for one. Because in real life, during the Depression, my father, who was very handsome and charming and a wonderful dancer, somehow finagled himself into his way into a job as a divorce cowboy on a divorce ranch outside of Reno.
For real.
And for real.
Mm-hmm.
Why does my phone keep telling me it's connected? Anyway, I always thought that was kind of interesting, but I was really a grown up before I was like, oh, this is not a job that everybody's
dad does.
Had.
Right.
And so, and what happened in the 1930s, I mean, it started before then, but if you wanted to get a quickie divorce, what you did is you went to Nevada, you lived in the state, you could not set a toenail outside of Nevada for those 6 weeks. Then they would make you a citizen and you could get divorced. And, some smart person who had a dude ranch was like, oh, we could have divorce ranches that cater to these divorcees because people needed some place to live for those 6 weeks.
Right.
So why not turn it into a vacation? So they would hire handsome, charming young men to work the ranches, to be the cowboys, and to be sort of like the, you know, the companions, just like, you know, they would play cards with them, they'd dance with them, with the ladies. And after I did the research for the book, I finally understood what his job was, because I sort of always was like, what's he doing?
What a wonderful job idea.
I know, but and you think about the people who could afford to get a divorce in the 30s and go there for 6 weeks, had some money. Mm-hmm. So rich, eccentric people from all different walks of life, but very well-to-do. And I love some of the inside things on these women.
But it was your dad telling you that idea, and then that became the book?
But sort of like, yeah. And, you know, people from all walks of life and income brackets went, but the rich ladies would go to the divorce ranch, because some people would, like, camp out for 6 weeks.
Right.
That's no fun.
I would want to go to the divorce ranch.
Right, the dude ranch with the hot cowboys.
I mean, and if you ever saw that movie from the 1930s called The Women?
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm they go to the to one and that to get a divorce. And it's a very short part of that movie. Mm. But told from the women's point of view. And to me, this was what made it even more interesting to me, because of my father was like, what's it like to be on the other side of that, to be the person who's providing the service versus the person who's taking it in, which that made it kind of more fun for me, but maybe that's just because I had the personal connection.
Tell people, give the setup of what the story is all about and how
the
setup.
I apologize for my phone retelling us that we're connected. What they would do is, I'm sorry, ask me again. I got distracted.
Oh, just tell us the setup, you know, about Ward and
Nina.
The setup is like our narrator is a guy named Ward, and he had been going to Yale. He's from a small town in West Tennessee, which I made up. It's called Whistler, but it's based on a town called Fells. He was at Yale for a year, and then the bottom fell out through one thing and another. Partly because of the depression and partly because one of his relatives fleeced his parents. So they're penniless. So he goes to get a job working at the Boulder Dam doing construction, and becomes incredibly well-muscled as a result of this. And then he hears about this other job and thinks, this will be more fun. And so he goes and takes that job. And then there's a number of different divorcees there. One of them, our two main ones, one is named Nina, and she's an aviatrix. And she's 6 feet tall, and it's her third divorce, and she's probably 32. Mm. And she's a stemwinder, which is like somebody who wasn't going to take any guff off her. She's like really fabulous. I love Nina.
Oh, and I loved her too.
And Emily is her best. They become instant best friends. And Emily's very tiny, and she has run off from her philandering husband in San Francisco. And so they become friends, and then, you know, hijinks ensue.
It's just,
and the way you tell the story with, you know, the old Ward looking back, somebody's obviously interviewing him and talking back on this time. I really loved that whole thing, because then, you know, the way it everything, it's just delicious. It was just so good.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, you know, my mother is a doctor. She's 92 years old now, and she delivered thousands of babies and was the center of many people's life. And like Ward, she's sort of, particularly now, like, we can't visit her. So she's like in this very lonely place. And that was sort of where, to me, this was interesting, that you could be so vital to so many people's lives and then just be marginalized. So that's part of it too. But that's the short, sad part. Most of it's fun.
Yes, it is. And Ward reflecting, and, you know, you describe him, the young, as that, you know, Cary Grant in cowboy boots. But I mean, honestly, I did just kind of pictured James Garner from Murphy's Romance as Ward.
Yes. I thought that too.
Did you?
If you're just joining. Go ahead. We're talking with Julia Claiborne Johnson, which has that you have a beautiful name. Better Luck Next Time is the book. Lori and I just absolutely love it, and it's different from anything we've read in a while.
I like, you know, like your little tidbits about a drugstore cowboy, and, you know, you have all these really interesting, the little, you know, his buddy, Ward's buddy, Sam and some of his sayings, and I never knew like Suicide Blondes was that meant that you dyed your hair with your own hands.
My father used to call them that.
So. Yeah,
but yeah, no. It's if you ever read my first book, it's I live in L.A. My husband is a television writer, and so I know a lot about Los Angeles. And in that book, there's a lot of Hollywood trivia, and I still have so much Hollywood trivia left. So I was like, oh, here's a place I could use it.
Okay.
So like that's sort of why. There's a Hollywood set designer designs the ranch. So
got
it'll look it. Like not what a real ranch looked like, but what women think it should look like.
Well, you know, one of the I was talking with your publisher today because we were so excited about this, and we're like, this needs to be that you're talking about your husband being a writer. This should be a limited series on Netflix or something because
HBO
would just have such rich women characters and good looking guys. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a fun story that people don't know about the divorce camps, ranches, really.
Yes. From your lips to God's ears. I mean, I'm having like all the meetings you could have now are Zoom, but I'm having those. Like I have another one tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah, let's hope it works out. But you know, you never know. I mean, so many things get optioned and then they never get made. So
yeah, I know that is true. But you know, and I was really, this just tickled me. I don't know why. I think maybe because I read this book in my 20s and then I read it again in my 30s. But you said that there were two memoirs, you know, that you'd look to that were helpful for the character of your aviatrix, Nina. And West with the Night by Beryl Markham is really one of the greatest
books ever written. I had never read it. How is that possible?
Lori's told me about it before. Now I want to read it.
I told Julia about this book for years, and I just want to ask you, Julia. So did someone tell you about that book when you were talking to them about Nina, or how did you find your way to West with the Night?
The way I found my way to Nina was that when I was growing up, there was one of my childhood friend's mother was a WASP during World War II, women's aviation, whatever. Yep. I can't remember what it stands for. And she was I don't even think she was 5 feet tall. And I was always fascinated that this tiny little woman had flown airplanes and done this exciting thing. And I'm going to try not to move. That seems to be throwing my phone off. But then I'm addicted to obituaries, and I went to see streamed it, the New York Times documentary about obituaries, and they were showing the filmmaker, the one they'd had for the longest, and it was for a woman named Eleanor Smith, who, when she was 15 or 16, flew under all of the bridges around Manhattan. Nobody's done it since.
That's right. That's an incredible story.
That is.
And they thought she was going to die young, so they had her obituary, but she lived to be 98, I think. So after that, I was like, an aviatrix. I am in. That's what she's going to be. And I just fell into a black hole of reading all these memoirs.
Yeah. It's such a great title, though, an aviatrix. It sounds kind of body.
Well, it's the feminine version. That's just what they did.
Lori loves obits, too, Julia.
Oh, my God. Well, the guy who wrote the funniest obituaries ever in the New York Times was from Shelbyville, Tennessee, my hometown. And that's how I got addicted to him. And there's actually a collection called 52 McGee's, which are his obituaries, and you should get it if you love obituaries, because
we did have the book Obit Life on Deadline. We had them on, and I remember finding West with the Night. It was after seeing the movie Out of Africa, and I wanted to know more about Isaac Dinesen. Anyway, that's how somebody at a bookstore said, oh, you should read this book, West with the Night. And I've kept that book, and it's just wonderful. So I thought that was great. And you really, really did justice with Nina. That her whole storyline was just so amazing, too.
We love your book. Better luck next time. It's so fun to meet you. All right. So we got to ask you this. What's the last recent great book that you've read? Because we've already talked about a few of them.
Oh, I read what I finished yesterday was Perestroika in Paris by Jane Smiley. Have you read that?
Say it again.
It's good. Perestroika in Paris. It came out in December, maybe. And it's about a horse and a little boy and a dog in Paris.
Oh.
And it's very sweet and it's very calm. And I thought, this is an excellent book to read right now because it is very peaceful.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I love it. You're just so, we love your accent too, and we want to read Be Frank With Me.
Oh, we totally
so
are.
So bad. Tell your publicist to send it to us.
And, I will.
And she's really good, by the way.
I love her.
Yeah,
I'm
she
so
called
lucky.
Us out of the blue and was like, you've got to talk to Julia Claiborne. This is the best book.
Oh.
You're just going to love it. So she does a great job for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray. Good. I'm so glad.
Well, you've won us over, Julia.
Good. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, better luck next time. I think you're just, you know, we know it came out last month, but I think it's just, it was one of the most fun reads and different.
I see this book, it's going to be a really huge word of mouth book, too, I think.
Well, I hope so. It came out on January 6th, and I don't know if you remember January 6th.
Yes.
A couple of things were happening.
Yes, there were.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah,
so.
No, I think that this is going to be a word of mouth book because, I mean, a feel-good literary comedy Western that's incredible.
With
and
women.
The romance and the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's we've never read anything like it.
Oh, I'm so glad. That makes me so happy.
Oh,
that makes all my, me never getting picked for kickball teams in grade school. Okay.
Oh, Julia, we would love to talk with you, even if you want to do it about Be Frank With Me, because people, not everybody might not know that book. It's escaped,
very, yeah.
It escaped our attention.
Well, thank you, hon.
Okay.
And cheers. And we'll talk to you soon, we hope. All right. And everybody.
I hope so, too. This is fun.
Oh, good. All right. And we've got two copies to give away. Give us a buzz at 651-641-1071. When we come back, it's time to Hollywood Speak.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood! Hollywood speaking!
What is the meaning of this?
By the way, just the Better Luck Next Time, the name of that book?
Yep.
That's what the judge said when he granted the divorce.
Right.
Better luck next time! Hit the gavel.
Judge Bartlett.
Yeah, Judge Bartlett. Mm-hmm. That's where the title came from. I just thought that was so cute. Okay, so... Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, who just can't ever stop giving terrible pseudoscience advice, has now got the director, the national director of England's National Health Service being asked about her latest stuff that she's shilling for COVID.
She's not shilling COVID stuff.
Yes, she is, Julia.
Oh, sorry. This woman.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, she invented it.
Yeah. Well, she's basically, she was pushing stuff that long-term, she said she had long-term COVID effects by eating kimchi, taking infrared sign, doing
turmeric
stuff she's selling,
sure.
Crap she's selling, and blah, 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 and that, you know, just made all these just ridiculous claims like she always does. And here's what he said. In the last few days, I see Gwyneth Paltrow is unfortunately suffering from the effects of COVID. We wish her well. But the solutions she's recommending are not solutions we recommend in the NHS. We need to take long-term COVID seriously.
Right.
And apply serious science. All influencers who use social media have a duty of responsibility and care around that.
Good for them. Smack.
Smack. I think YouTube and other social media platforms and people who use them have a responsibility.
I would agree.
So,
all right.
She's
smack.
Always getting... You know, people, and she was probably, this doctor was probably asked about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
At something.
That would come out of the blue.
Because she had a very long and lengthy post with lots of things you could buy where.
That would help you. That's just, I think that's irresponsible right now.
You think?
I think
but she's been doing this
all
along.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like with this one, there really are people who are suffering long-term effects. And for her to say that she knows what works for it is really...
And to say that she's invented the masks.
I know. This one gets me, though.
Yeah.
More so than some of the others.
Yeah.
I get it.
She did, I will remind everybody, in 2018, Goop did play a substantial settlement to the state of California about all the health benefits she claimed about her infamous vaginal jade eggs that she was selling for a couple $100 for pushing unscientific advice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nice way to give yourself a good old vaginitis. putting a jade egg up your
hoochie coo.
Have you guys ever purchased anything from Goop?
No, but Holly buys her cookbooks and likes them. People like her cookbooks. That's what I've heard.
The cookbooks are a faint, distant memory with all the shenanigans.
I haven't. Who bought some of the candles?
I don't know, but Lynette Beltro is coming back tomorrow.
She's Lori's version of, Loop. Yeah. Loop.
Yeah, I mean, has anybody around her even bought one of the candles just as a joke?
They're $75. Yeah, that's too expensive for a joke. Plus shipping and handling.
Right. That's why I have Loop, and I came up with my own. And I collected the toe jam of 500.
That was funny. That was a funny video. You know, I guess Rocco, her stuff is too expensive for a joke.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
right.
So it's, but we know someone who bought some of her candles, the Vag candles.
Like a friend. And did they buy it?
As a joke.
As a joke.
As a joke.
So who's laughing?
Gwyneth.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What did your friend say?
Just because they sold out right away and they were glad they got one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was kind of an investment piece, as it were.
So it's still sealed.
It's always Goop looking down her nose at the peasants, no matter what she's doing.
Entertaining too.
Yeah. I Loop would have this to say to Goop. Part of your problem is you're going to perimenopause, honey. That's what some of your brain fatigue is.
Just saying,
she's 48.
Perimenopause is brutal on some people.
About half the women.
Like
80% of the women.
It was so brutal on me.
Yeah. We almost got a divorce.
I know. You and I.
Yeah.
I know. I did get a divorce.
Yeah, but...
let's just say my other marriage did get divorced.
That's right.
As a result of it.
I'm glad we stuck it out.
I'm glad.
I'll keep you posted because I'm married to a 48-year-old woman.
And there's hormonal stuff, and half of women and half of men, because men go through it too. It's called andropause. It doesn't get all the buzz that menopause gets.
Right.
But it happens. Men go through it. And all it is that your testosterone goes down for men. For a lot of ladies, it goes up. And your estrogen for women goes down, and you will get estrogen. So women get testy and men get esty.
Okay.
So women get crabby and stronger feeling and bitchy, if I will, because it was me. Mm-hmm. I can own that.
And forgetful. There was a real forgetfulness and not sleeping.
But really, the bottom line for me was I was so bad.
Oh, you were so mean.
I was so crabby and awful. And every day I'd think, today when I get to work, I'm not going to bitch about the traffic or bitch about this or bitch about that. And it would be the first thing that came out of my mouth.
No, you were a bitch machine.
It was horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are things you can do, people. Go see a menopause specialist.
Rocco, I had one sleepless night, a hot flash, discovered Panya de Amor, and I went to the doctor, and I'm like, what can I do? What's going on?
She gained like 2 pounds on her back.
But still, it was upsetting.
I gained like 19, 25, 30, 40 pounds.
Yeah. But it is a real thing.
It is a real thing. And if your wife is feeling anything.
It's just like if you're 13 or 14.
Remember, I went to New Leaf and they put the pellets in my butt.
That's not a good idea, the pellets.
Well, whatever. It changed my life. It made me feel better for a while.
Well, you need an infusion. You had nothing. The first thing you have to do is get a blood test. You should just get a blood test so you know what your testosterone
your baseline is
today.
Okay.
And people should.
And anyone who's listening, you just go and get all your lady hormones.
You got to trust us. We've been through it.
And all your man hormones, and just know where you're at, because it doesn't go, well, you're within the range. Well, what if you're a high testosterone person?
Right.
Right.
You know.
That's good to know. Yeah, then at least you know your base.
You know your base. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for the advice.
White lines.
We are here to guide people through the perimenopausal, menopausal, and andropause.
We've
adjacent.
Been there. It's not fun, and you can do something about it. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's
all right. Well, there's Hollywood speaking.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale. Even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.